Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson.
All right, y'all, here we go, y'all. We're going to try that one more time. Here we go, y'all. Welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, on Blog Talk Radio. And today is Wild Wednesday, which means we're going to talk about anything. I don't care how y'all want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. So if you got something that's on your mind, hey, let me know. Call in. Let's go in the chat room. Hey, hit me up on Twitter. I don't care. Let's talk. You want to call in? 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or sign into your Facebook account or MySpace or whatever you're using and join me in the chat room. Or better yet, just call. It's easier, right? Because we're going to talk about some things today, y'all, and I think we got some good things to talk about. So if we're ready, we're going to go ahead and pay some bills real fast, and when we come back, we're going to get started on this thing because y'all know what? I'm feeling it coming. I feel it coming. Oh, it ain't time for the mothership yet, but it's coming. I know. See y'all in 3 minutes.
The Fans organization has teamed up with Catfish & Company in Hearst, Texas for our first annual Feed the Hungry food drive. We are hosting this event on behalf of the North Texas Food Bank, and it will be held at Catfish & Company, located at 900 West Airport Freeway in Hearst, Texas, 76054. For directions to the event location, please call 817-581-3912. Or to contact the event organizers, you may do so by calling us here at FANS at 817-479-8299 locally or 888-419-6369 toll-free nationally. This event will be held on October 6th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And at that time, we will be on location accepting perishable food items, cash donations, and orders for our nationally advertised Fans apparel, t-shirts, and hats. If you're not able to make the event, we understand, but you can still help out the kids and families in need by going to our website, www.fanss.org, and placing an order for your t-shirt and hat today, or by making a personal contribution on our website while you are there, both discreetly and securely. Every little bit counts, and for every dollar donated, that will result in 3 full meals for a child or family in need. Thanks for all your support, and we appreciate your generosity as well as helping us make this event a success, so please tell a friend.
Hey, Colleen Ford Hood, you looking for some barbecue, man, that'll fall off the bones? Some ribs, chicken, brisket. Oh, man, nice and smoked and delicious. If so, try Taste Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar. Located 1015 Adams Avenue in Fort Hood Road, just 2 minutes from the Fort Hood East Gate. Man, they have potato salad, mac and cheese, baked beans, coleslaw, collard greens. And if you're from Louisiana, yes, they have your rice and beans to go to. They even have Kool-Aid, sweet tea. And I mean, yes, I said Kool-Aid. Nothing like Kool-Aid. Now, if you rush for time, no problem. They even accept call-in orders. Just give them a call at 254-213-9660. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tastes like more barbecue and snack bar. Barbecue so good, you will come back for more.
Hey man, I said go by there and get some of that old barbecue. Hey, there's something going on terrible up in there. You hear me? That barbecue is on point. So stop by there and see Mr. Cheers. It tastes like barbecue and more. I definitely go back for more. That's your, and tell him you heard it on here, man. You get some free red Kool-Aid. That's my favorite, the red Kool-Aid. It's on point, too. So stop by and get you some red Kool-Aid and chat it up for a little while. That's right. And, hey, y'all, Tony, he's doing a food drive. fans organization. And make sure, if you can't, go drop by his website and hand, give him a hand. He's doing some wonderful things up there. On the 6th of October, he has a food drive that's going on in Hearst, Texas. And it's a great thing. So if you can't go by there, drop a little donation. Okay? Now, all the public service ads have been done. So let's talk about something else, y'all. Like McDonald's. What the hell is wrong with Madonna? I'm sorry, I'm calling her McDonald. What the hell going on with Madonna, y'all? Why? Please tell me, why is this lady got the nerve to stand up there and say, we have a black Muslim in the White House? Now, has she lost her mind or what? Is she just downright, all them things she's done when she was younger done caught up with her little feeble brain? And see, that's what I was talking about yesterday. Little idiotic things like that. Now, you got all these people standing in front of you in a crowd, you know, and the best thing you can say out your mouth is what? We have a black Muslim president in the White House. That is just downright dumb. But yet, some of y'all out there would believe that, and they say, you know, we got a whole nother big issue going on about people in the White House. We got a Muslim in the White House. Then they say, you're talking about, oh, then I guess we're going to have a protest and try and burn down the White House, huh, to bring the black Muslim out. If y'all do, y'all idiots. That's what I'm saying. Y'all crazy. Y'all really are. Why we want to do that? Hey, it's getting closer to voting time, y'all. How many of y'all registered to vote? I know some of these places around here are beginning to do the voter registration drives. Are there any of y'all out there participating? I hope so. That's right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find one of these registration places. I'm going to broadcast live right there. And I'm going to sit there and see just how many people are actually coming up to register to vote. You know, I'm not going to ask them who they're voting for. I'm just going to see how many are going to coming up and actually getting registered to vote. The demographic, because we need to know this. It makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? It makes me wonder anyway. I don't know about you. But anyway, and see, that's another reason why we do need to vote. For people like Madonna, you know, she said we got a black Muslim president. And she's an old, washed up hoe. So now, we done called her name too. Now everybody's happy. You see how crazy this, you see how crazy people get though? Just over something simple like that. Just it boggles the mind. It really does. Why do it? Just because you're supposed to be a mega star, you're not even a mega star anymore. You barely can be classified as a superstar. But yet you steady go ahead and keep trying and trying to get things started that you don't need to get started. And we need to fix that because they're dumb. Just dumb, dumb, and dumb. Madonna, stick to what you do, okay? Dancing on stage with the girls, trying to adopt little black kids and whatever else. And stay out of what's in the White House because apparently you're not there and you're jealous of that, okay? So keep your ass out. That's what I'm saying. You're going to call somebody and then go, you know what? And here's the thing. If it was just need to call somebody something, why did she go and mess with that with Ahmadinejad from Iran? Huh? Somebody need to call him something. But nobody wants to do that. They want to attack our own. See, that's part of the problem, what's wrong with America. Why we want to attack our own? Huh? Now you got this other idiot down there talking about it's time for a new world order and what have you, but ain't nobody attacking him. But we have so-called stars, superstars in our own country attacking our own president. Really? And you don't hear anything about that, do you? It's all nice and quiet. Yeah, they'll throw it on the headlines for a couple of days. Then after that, it's over with. We hear nothing else about it. It's just some of the things that make you go, That's right, make you think. Because apparently somebody's not. Now, check this out. on the same level there. We have Adenijan. That's his name, Adenijan from Iran, the Iranian leader. Yeah. He said, well, it's time for a new world order. Because of capitalism, United States and Europe just messed up everything. We have just screwed everything up. The United States and Europe, we have messed everything up. Everything. You know what I mean? What in the hell is wrong with him? Now, we didn't cause the whole world to go bad. The whole world to go bad. Now, so here we go. So he said, we have been trampling the rights of others, contributing to global poverty and humanitarian failures. Well, guess what? Let's be honest about this. Dude, before any of us ever knew who you were, y'all had poverty. Okay, don't put that on us. We had nothing to do with that. We didn't. Y'all brought that on yourself. On yourself. And you up here making all these bold predictions or what have you. Let me give you another piece of advice. Your country is broke, dude. That's why you got to smuggle stuff in. That's why you're trying to hijack stuff. You the one who put your country in poverty, not nobody else. Get over it. And as I understand it, you're a lame duck president right about now anyway. So you won't be there too much longer either. But you want to come here and try and start up some mess. Take your non-English speaking ass back over to the water. Back over to the water in them little dried up caves, sand castles, whatever you got. And you know what? Do what you do over there. Green Dog says, I am not a global citizen. Your poverty is none of my concern. That's right, Green Dog. That's right. I agree with that. You know, I agree with that 100%. I ain't. Oh, Lord have mercy. And got the nerve to talk about humanitarian failures? Humanitarian failures. These are the folk that will put you in jail just for mistakenly hiking into their country. But they want to talk about somebody else got humanitarian failures? Really? Wow. Green Dawn said, I have no obligation to Iran or the global community. Green Dawn, let me ask you, you registered to vote already? You're a registered voter? Have you gone and took that step? He said, Iran and global community. And maybe that's our problem. We want to step out, get all involved with everybody else's stuff. Why? Why are we doing this? Just so we can get involved with knuckleheads like that? That's right, Green Dog. They do. Execute children for religious heresy. That's right. Not just the kids, everybody. But he wants to stand up here in front of the United Nations in New York City, out of all places, and make these bold comments or or accusations, as some of you would like to hear. Now, we are... Okay, why did we even let him get up there? Why did we even let him get up there? Not what we should be asking. Why did we let him get up there with that nonsense? It's not like we were supposed to... we didn't know what he was going to say. Green Dog said, where is Iran's obligation to America? There is no obligation. Humanity... That word does not exist in that country. I'll tell you. Iran's obligation to America is to get on our freaking nerves. That's what it is. And that's all basically they do. You know, it was like Saddam Hussein. Even though, now here's the catch. Here's. Okay, wait a minute, Green Dog. See, you must have missed my opening about Madonna and her little... her Muslim statement, talking about we have a black Muslim in the White House. Now, here you go. He got it up because Obama's a closet Muslim. Look, let me put it simple like this. Right now, if he was a Muslim, a Buddhist, a knucklehead, a Catholic, it really freaking doesn't matter. He's the president. Quit trying to put a label on the man. He's the president. presidente, the head man in charge, the big dog. Quit trying to put labels on this man. Good Lord, y'all. Woo. Come on, man. Come on. That's another problem we have in this great country, supposedly. We always want to label something or somebody. Quit trying to put a label on everything. Just work with them. Is it so hard to do that? Is it? No, it's not. But in this country it is, because everybody, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to be have a label. What'd you say? I'm in charge. I'm the general. I'm the boss. I'm the supervisor. I'm the manager. And what does all that mean? What does all that mean? Because 9 times out of 10, if you're not the president, well, even the president works for somebody. The president works for the people of the United States. For those that didn't realize that. So even the president has a boss. That's why you do the election. Duh. Did that just come to y'all? Green Dog said it does matter, because Muslims will not accept their apology from infidels. The bomber's best category is apologizing for America. Now, Green Dog, once again. Here we go. You know, sometimes, you know, have you ever heard that saying, you have to pick your battles? You have to pick your battles and pick your wars. And sometimes it's just not even worth the hassle to be dealing with the nonsense. And a lot of it is nonsense. Now, everybody wants to say, well, we should have did this as a country. We should have did that as a country. That's fine. That's fine. George W. did what he thought he needed to do when he was in office. And what happened with that? We ended up with 2 wars and lost lives of many, many, many young people and my fellow soldiers. So, yeah, you're right. But instead of apologizing, a lot of y'all just want us to go and pick up some guns. Oh, Lord, that's 20 push-ups right there. Pick up some weapons, get in some tanks, roll across the border, and start blowing people away. It doesn't work like that. If Obama was a Christian, the Saudi prince would have chopped his head off. Okay, you know. Okay. I doubt that seriously. You know, but see, once again, here we go. Now, why would the Saudi prince want to chop his head off if he was a Christian? You know, in a lot of parts of the world, different religions get along just fine without others meddling in it. And that's the key. Without other people meddling and bothering them. See, in this country, that's one of the things we have. We have to put our hands in everything. Everything. You know, and it really doesn't matter. Sometimes we put our hands in things that are just fine and we just screw them up completely because we had to put our hands in it. That's right. In other words, we just had to do something and we messed it all up. From the top to the bottom. No, infidels are not allowed to walk upon the sacred sands of Arabia. Well, you know what? There was an issue. Well, in that case, there was a problem. There was a real problem back in 91. Because we sure walked on a whole lot of sand in Arabia. And if I'm looking down correctly, I have both of my hands. So that statement, that holds no water. That dog doesn't hunt anywhere. Did you know places like that are basically more civilized than most people realize? Unless you go on the outskirts of the cities themselves. That's right. And we never got an explanation why he was allowed to bow before the Saudi. Why he was allowed to bow. Because it's protocol. Just like a lot of times when you go and see the queen, they curtsy in front of the queen. It's just protocol. Showing respect. See, and once again, we read stuff into things that doesn't. Ooh, we read things. Why? See, once again, there it is. There it is right there. and we never got. Why do we need him to tell us why he bowed in front of this man? Hey, do you see when Koreans walking down the street and a young Korean walk up on a older Korean? What do? They stop and bow. But ain't nobody said nothing about that. The Chinese, when they meet each other, when they greet each other, they bow to each other. That's what they do. So what is the problem? It's called respect. That's what their culture does. It's called... Wow. See, once again, we don't put our hand into something. We ain't got no business putting our hands in. Leave it alone. If you're not the one up there accepting the bow or doing the bowing, leave it alone. You just said you're not. In fact, a little further, you said you have no obligation to Iran or the global community. So why are you worrying about who they are bowing to? You still live in America. Oh, don't get quiet on me now, dog. Come on. I don't care why he bowed. I want to know why infidel would be allowed to walk by son. Any of them would be put to death. Well, because we were the ones putting other folk to death. When the infidels did come across the border, they called the great gang called the United States Army. And when that gang gets ready to roll, we roll hard and deep. Y'all ain't realize that what the army was, right? We're a gang. That's right. We are a big, mean, ugly gang. And when we roll deep. And we the only problem is we don't play for keeps. He had to be accepted as a mother to get away with that stunt. Okay, Green Dog. All right. You can get off that box now, Green Dog, because it's beginning to collapse a little bit on you, okay? Oh, Lord. Well, I like that, though. I like that. But to answer, yeah, there were some infidels that came across. They were called Iraq. And then we ran them back off. Look, and here's another thing. Those people over there have been fighting for thousands and eons of years. Okay? That's what they do. That is what they do. Now, once again, we had to make up a great, great, great scenario to get over there and get our hands in that region for the oil. Uh-oh. Did I just say that out loud? Hold on. Wait a minute. If he isn't a Muslim, I want to know why, how he did it. It's called protocol. I thought I explained that to you already. It's protocol. That's when they, like when they curse to the Queen of England. When they go to China and Japan, they bend over and bow to those leaders as well, because that is the customs of that country. It's not hard. Just like when they come here, we shake hands. That's what we do. That's what they do. And if you're a foreign dignitary going into somebody's country, it is only correct that you follow their customs as far as greeting each other. It's not hard. Bush wasn't allowed to walk upon the sands. Well, I don't know all about that, okay? I don't know why Bush wasn't allowed to walk on the sands, and I really don't care. Hell, Bush didn't want to walk on the sands, number one. So, I mean, neither was Clinton nor Carter. Okay. Maybe they didn't want to walk on it, too. Your point is, and once again, I'm back to originally what I was saying before. Why are we worried about this? I don't care who walked on the damn sand. Okay? I don't. That's not what that is not important to me. What is important to me is what my kids' education is looking like. You know, when can I afford a home that I don't have to worry the bank's taking the next day? That's what I'm worried about. What about Social Security? Huh? And then again, you said they weren't allowed. Hell, who knows? It was a different leader, maybe. No, everybody changes. Regimes change. Okay. Red, okay, dog. You want to know who made the exception? I tell you what. Sit down, get you a pencil and paper. All right. And this is what I want you to write. Dear Mr. President, I have a question that I need to ask you. Who let you walk on the sands in Saudi Arabia? Fold it up, put your name on it, fold it up, stick a stamp on it, and send it on. Or better yet, just write in an email and send it. I'm sure somebody, and you'll get a response, I'm sure. I mean, if you are that concerned about why he walked on some sand in Saudi Arabia, I'm not understanding that train of thought right there. I'm not. Because it really, in logical, it's not logical. It makes no sense to be worrying about that. Dear Ms. Brad, I have a question I need to ask you. That's right. There you go. Ask him. I mean, if you want to know it like that, yeah, ask him. It's okay. I'm sure he'll let you know. I'm sure. And while you're at it, make sure you get Madonna. So Madonna, you know, she can go and add her little 2 cents to it, too. Since she claims we have a black Muslim in the office. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and get her with you. Together, y'all write it together. And hell, who knows? She may get a special invitation. You go with her and y'all can dance and sing y'all way through. Oh, my goodness. Just those little things like that. Once again, we are worrying about the wrong things. We're worrying about the wrong things. But yet, that's the way we in America roll. You know, the little itty bitty bit picking things that really, in the big grand scheme and stuff, really doesn't matter. It doesn't. Hey, thank y'all for joining me today. I see I got a couple of new people up in the chat room. Thank you for joining. Hey, Green Dog, he been riding me hard, y'all. So y'all going to have to give me some hand because he on me today. They on me. Hey, you're listening to Wild Wednesday on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And we're talking about anything. Right now we on walking through the sands of Saudi Arabia. And why did the president have to bow to the prince? Now, I know what some of y'all say, what the hell? Yeah, exactly. But that's what we're talking about. But it's okay, because it's Wild Wednesday, and we can do this. Okay. Let's see. Green Dog said, my concern is Obama a Muslim, because I want to know if our mortal enemy is running the country. You're also right, worrying about the wrong thing. Green Dog, you know what? Listen to this. Now, I'm going to put it to you. As easy as I can and as simple as I can. The enemy has been running the country for as long as I can remember. For as long as we can remember, the enemy has been running the country. I'll let you think about that one for a moment. But it's true. It is true. For a long time, the enemy has been running the country. And it's not necessarily that one sitting up in that place they call the White House. Think about that one for a moment, and you'll come back with something. Food stamps, healthcare, education, all are a distraction. We should be up in arms over it. You know what? Look. Here we go. All right, Green Dog, for those that don't know what those things are, you need to spell them out for us, okay? The NDAA and the NDRP. Spell them out so we can go on to get a good overhaul view of what are you talking about right now. Since that's what we need to be up in arms about. We need to be up in arms about a lot of things. A whole lot of things. Besides just that, every man deserves a trial regardless of their crime. Let me give you my take on this, on the punishment system that this great country has. All right? Number one, executing people without a trial cannot be permitted. Why can't? If you sit there and you have 8 witnesses say, this person shot this person did this, why not? You know how much money would come out the the national deficit, if we stop putting them behind bars for 10, 20, 30 years waiting to die? Do you know how much money we would save? Do you know how much crime would stop, period? You know, you want to talk about the sands of Saudi Arabia, you don't hear much about crime over there. You know why? Because they take care of it right then. You steal, they cut your freaking hand off. You rape somebody, they castrate you. They will hang you, stone you, burn you. But in the same token, they don't have the crime rates that they have here in the United States. Give them a trial? No. You know what? And that's the other thing. Give them a trial. Why? Why? If they caught red-handed and they done it, why are you giving them a trial? Once again, that's more money that's going toward the deficit of the country. We wasting money. Number one, you got to take 12 people, got to find 12 people. Right? Now, before you get to them 12 people, they got to go through what? Maybe hundreds who's not losing money from work, getting $4 a day, $6 a day to be a juror. Right? Now, then we got to sit doing that. The lawyers, then the witnesses, then the judge, the reporters, and then the jurors again. You see what I'm saying? You know how much money we have? We are not going to chop off heads in America, not allowed. Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it should be allowed for the heinous, some of these heinous crimes that's going on around here. No problem. You know what? And like I said before, there ain't no problem. All these wannabe gangbangers and gangbusters around here, I got, you know what? And here's my solution to that. This is what you do. You pick them all up. If they caught with it, you pick them up, okay? Now, take them down. Now, here we go. You take them down to a holding cell. All right, now, put them all in the holding cell together. Since they be a bad, they're going to fight, right? Now, this is what you do. You charter a flight. You charter a flight over to Afghanistan. You drop their behinds off in the mountains, give them their weapons, and tell them the best man to make it out, make it out. Number one, they got to decide whether they're going to work together, because now they ain't only trying to fight each other. They got to fight them people live up in the Taliban. The Taliban works fine. You know what I'm saying? The Taliban fight, but I guarantee you, after a couple of plane fights over there, some of this mess out here will stop. Our problem is we're too easy on criminals. If I say that computer you are using was stolen from me, shouldn't you get a trial before they chop my hand off? Well, if I can show a receipt saying I bought it, and then no. But maybe they should cut your tongue out because you lied. See, I mean, that is to the extreme. But my point is this. We need to change the way we handle our criminals in this country. It's just that simple. Criminals, you know what? They get they're on death row, or they get 25 to 50 years in prison. They come out with master degrees, PhDs. Why? Because we paying for them to get an education in prison. In prison. But nobody's saying nothing about that. You know how much that's costing us? But everybody wants to talk about other things. That cost us just as much. Let's put a stop to this. We so politically correct. We can't do this. We can't do that. Bull crap. If they kill somebody, get rid of them. See, nobody want to hear that, though. No one wants to hear that. But you wouldn't get to show your receipt if they go on the word of the accused. That is not the point that I'm making, Green Doll. That's a good try, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, once they have, oh, Lord, I see I got somebody here with me today. Hold on, I got a caller waiting. Just one moment, let me pull this up. Good afternoon, you're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Eric, you are so off base, it's not even funny.
Well, here we go. Okay, I'm off base. Okay.
You just want anybody to be killed just as soon as anybody else says, well, they did it.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
All right. What is it?
I'm saying, you know, how can I say? If you caught red-handed doing something, red-handed now, it's a fact. It's not something like it's a fact that you murdered somebody, stole something, whatever, and this is a habit. Why we put this behind our show? You know, he's down so much.
You're breaking up, Eric.
I ain't breaking up. You're breaking up.
No, I'm not breaking up. I have static, but I'm not breaking up.
Okay. But no, what I'm saying is, the basic, put it real short, we need to change our just a minute. Because we waste so much money just for
fucking phone. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to fix the static here.
Yeah, you need to fix that static, Joe. What's going on?
Okay, is that better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But basically what I'm saying is, you know, and I may have exaggerated a little bit, but we need to do something, Joe.
Well, I'm for frontier justice. I am for if I catch somebody, I want to take care of it. If I catch somebody. But I've given people, see, I've had this discussion before, and I've given this example. Let's say back in the old West, if you stole a horse, that was a lynching offense because your horse was like family. It could save your life when you're going across the plains, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, let's say I'm coming back to my ranch and I find somebody on top of my horse. Now I chase him, right? I'm going to hang him, and I don't want anybody telling me I can't do it. Now, at the same time, let's say I'm coming back to my ranch. I see somebody riding away on my horse. I can't catch him. Now, that day or a couple of days later, I see somebody riding into town on my horse. I want a trial for that person because I want to find out if that's a real person. If he says, I found this horse, it was lost in the range, it was bleeding, I took care of it, that person deserves a trial. But I'm for frontier justice. I'm for taking care of it myself. I'm not even for the police. Because if you give the police too much power with a corrupt justice system, all you've got is a bunch of legal thugs. So I'm for people taking care of their own business. But I am for trials.
So regardless, you want to give them a trial first, then kill them?
No, not regardless. If I catch them, I'll take care of it myself, and I don't want any police coming after me.
Okay.
But if I, let's say something is stolen, and then they find it in somebody's apartment, you know how many times the government, they frame people?
Well, yeah.
And do you know that on death row, like I think in the last 10 years, the Innocence Project had found out that something like 39 or 49 people were convicted unfairly to death row because they found the DNA? So,
yeah. Well, see, and sex with your horse. What the world?
Yeah, I see. I'm sex with your horse.
Oh Lord. Anyway, Joe. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You know, okay, maybe we do need a trial for some of them, but some of them we don't. We wasting too much money and too much time.
I don't care about the money. I care about the justice system is one of the first things to go, and they want to try to. Have tyranny for everybody. No, if the justice system is slow, fine, okay? But I don't want, first of all, I don't like police, period. I don't like the justice system, period, because it can be corrupted. I've been there, so I know it can.
Okay.
I like frontier justice. I like the kind of justice they had back like in Oklahoma or Nebraska before they became states.
All right. Well, here's the thing. If that's the case, Joe, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If we catch them doing it out in public, no problem. We gather 12 of the closest people we got standing around here, and we have a quick trial. If they say guilty, we deal with them. If not, we turn them over to the police.
You
that's
don't want that either.
For us.
No, you don't want that either. You don't want it. Look, you. It's amazing to me, and I'm not going to be, it's going to sound offensive to you, okay? But it's amazing to me how black people seem to have forgotten what has happened to them, especially like Jim Crow. Oh. All you had to do was just be black, remember?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so it amazes me when I, and I, you know, most of these shows on BTR are black, so every time I'm on a show, it's a black guy or a black woman. So I've had these discussions before, and a lot of
right.
them feel the same as you do. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding me.
Well, see, okay. Well, see, that's okay, Joe. I you made your point on that one. I see what you're saying. But I wasn't looking at it as just a downright. See, back in the day,
yeah,
though,
you're
that was.
Assuming people are honest for some reason. I'm not. I know better.
Hey, okay. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, this is for everybody. You know, back in the day, it wasn't for everybody, just everybody of a certain color.
Yeah.
See, that's not what I'm saying. I'm like, this is for everyone. Everyone.
But how about this? How about if, yeah, of course, everybody wants equal justice. But at the same time, if you have it your way, then people can just come along and point fingers at somebody and say, okay, they did it. How about if the Ku Klux Klan or the Hell's Angels didn't have any restrictions on them, right? And they can just go along and they had the judges in their pocket like the mob does. And they
uh-huh.
go along and they can just do whatever they want. And when it goes to trial, bang, you know, they get the people who are convicted because of planted evidence and stuff. I'm for frontier justice where I take care of my own shit.
Okay.
You know? Now, let's say the Hell's Angels wants to fuck with me.
Uh-huh.
I'll hire the Pinkertons, and they can fuck with the Hell's Angels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
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 That's the way I like it. Because I don't, you know, I don't believe in the justice system. I believe in the theory of the justice system.
Okay.
But I don't believe in the practicality of it.
Mm. So how can we make it more practical then?
Well, more practical, people have to vote in legislators who are honest, and see, and that's where America falls on its face, because they keep electing in the Democrats and the Republicans.
Okay, Joe. So who else is out there besides Democrats and the Republicans?
Any third party will do.
Okay.
Because the third party people, they're not professional politicians. If you're a Democrat and Republican, you've been sponsored by the machine in some way. When you get into office, the first thing you might be thinking about might be the people. But once you're there and you get called senator this and congressman that, and yes, sir, no, sir, oh, can I suck your fucking hemorrhoids? Yes, sir, thank you very much.
The hemorrhoids.
You don't want to give up that position, so you bend to the lobbyists.
Ah, that's the key word, lobbyists.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, Joe. We got somebody who want to join in the conversation.
Okay.
Ooh. Hello. On Let's Talk, what's on your mind?
Oh, hello. Just listening to the discussion, and I tend to agree with the caller on most of that that stuff about the justice, but you know about with the third party. One of the things I think that we leave out of the equation that even if there was to be a third party, and I don't believe in either one of them now, so let me just clear that up. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but even if a third party crops up, America is still a capitalist society. The majority of people believe in capitalism, even those who say they want a third party. So eventually, what you get out of the third party, eventually, what you're going to get out of them is what you're getting out of the other two. So, you know, that I don't see that as a long-term remedy either.
Well, long term, if people want the third parties, right now, they're a good solution. 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line, once people, if the third parties were a viable party, so-called viable party, and they had enough people in Congress and they were changing laws and everything, then people would take a look at the third party and say, aha, I can use this party as a way of getting into Congress and doing my thing. And they could be corrupt, too. So it's up to the people to stop being brainwashed, to stop being stupid, and to make sure that their politicians are doing the right thing.
Yeah, and also on the other point, like the caller said, it also strikes me strange, too, especially when I hear blacks, and I'm black, kind of defending a system that has historically went upside their head. And so I don't know. I don't know what we got something missing out of our brain that make us forget history and, you know, it's kumbaya now and we gonna work it out. And the history doesn't show that with the justice system. The people who are disproportionately affected by the entire justice system is black. Now, these are facts. This is not hyperbole. And so for blacks to be saying, hey, yeah, let's ramp up the justice system, that's just ludicrous.
Well, you say it's just ludicrous. So what you're saying is my thoughts on it is that doesn't make, hold water, basically. So how do we fix this thing then? I mean,
I don't mean to, when I say ludicrous, mean maybe just ahistorical, meaning whatever formula you use to draw that conclusion to say, hey, let's ramp it up, it don't have a lot of historical information behind it.
Okay,
so that's what I mean. I don't mean to.
No, you're good, man. That's why it's called Let's Talk.
All right. Okay. Now you said about the fishing. Now, to me, man, if and it is disproportionately affecting blacks. So to me, what the view you'll get from whites may not be the same view you'll get from blacks as far as what we do to change it. So I think first thing is the blacks have to determine, you know, look at the system vertically and see if there's a place in it where we can change it. And I think you attack from there. Now, I'm just of the mind state that, according to all the historical data, and particularly the sister that just put out the book, The New Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander, I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but she shows you vertically how the justice system is a creator of white middle-class jobs.
Hmm.
And so they have no interest in changing, you see? And if we don't look at it from that perspective, we could be running up behind, you know, so we could be chasing the cheese for 20 years.
Let's see, we got a comment coming out of the chat room that says, any Americans who still believes the president or our government has an authentic power or authority over the 1%ers are so deep in the matrix they are snoring. I know, that's a good one, huh?
Yeah, that is.
Now, that's something you can't even argue with about that one. Mm-hmm.
So let me say this, man. I think so, like I said, with the, if you look at it, and I used to be a politician in a all-black city, and with 98% black city. One of the things I can say is at that level, when you have black, and I didn't say all now, but when you have black police officers, community policing, and people in office who understand the criminality problem in the black community, you have less, you know, movement from locally into the federal system. It tends to calm down, crime tends to calm down, and things of that nature. So I know I don't know why we got away from that. Police officers being from the community that they're policing, I don't know what happened to that.
Well, I mean, just like here, I'm visiting in Florida, they talking about putting the police department's budget, which means they got to lay off some police now as it is. So, I mean, with that, I mean, how long has that been going on? And then that kind of adds to the problem then, correct? Because, look, here's my thing. You know, every time if you look at the news, any local news, there's just so much violence going on. It's not even, it shouldn't be acceptable anymore for anybody.
Yeah, but the police aren't doing anything. But the police always arrive on the scene later. The police are not that much of a deterrent. If a person is really determined to rob a bank or to get drugs, they're going to do it.
Well, see, and that's my point exactly. Let's come up with something that is more of a deterrent.
The best deterrent is to get a job.
Right. I was just going to go there. It's about economics. No. That's real. One of the things before I ran for public office, I mean, we should go down there, and this is a little bit off of crime, but it's still got the same premise to it. Man, we go down to every public meeting and cuss out the mayor and the city commission, a group of us. You know, all y'all thugs, get on out of here. And then so they hired a consultant and said, look, these guys want to work. That's really what they want. Y'all can't see that? So we got a contract. I mean, they hired about 50 of us, called them so-called thugs. Man, we didn't have time to go down to the meeting and harass them and get into, mischief. Man, we was working.
Well, that's the best solution, is if everybody was working. Now, for those who aren't working, of course, blacks are going to say, well, whitey's keeping us down. To a degree, that's true. I do believe there's white privilege, but there's a bunch of blacks who also say, whitey's got nothing to do with it. You know, if you have a college education, you got a skill, you can get a job. And if you can't get a job, you can certainly start your own business. And then the people I talk to, they'll say, well, you can't get loans. Well, maybe you can't get a loan that easily, but you got to build up your credit. Then you can get a loan. Then you can start a little old delicatessen, and then you go from there. The Constitution is about the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of success. And people should go out there and do their thing unrestricted. Like I said, the justice system is highly corrupt. It's not just against blacks either, but you're right, disproportionately against blacks, but if you don't have money...
I mean, I'm just going to tell the facts.
If you don't have money, you're in the who's down.
Hmm. Wow. All right. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's why we call this Let's Talk, because we get to the bottom of some things, see? The education of the mind is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Woo! Now, once again, though, here's what I want to say. I understand what both of you are saying. But we still haven't, besides a job, which is would be the great deterrent, if anything, but there's some jokers out here, they're not trying to get no job. Let's be honest about it, since we're going to put it out there. Some of them, that's all they want to do is be gangsters or thugs or whatever they're calling themselves today.
Yeah, but those are the uneducated ones. Those are the ones who didn't do well in school. Those are the ones, we've had this discussion before. As far as I'm concerned, it's all the parents.
Mm-hmm.
The parents can't instill. See, the Jews do it, the Chinese do it, and let me tell you, black people should do it too. Okay? You should instill to your children, hey, you're coming home with good marks. Hey, I even hear that you're hanging out with Rodney on the corner. I'm grounding you for 2 years. Hey, you better show me some good marks, you know? But they don't do it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I can hold my
hand. I think that the gentleman is right, but I think, to me it's always, I always I'm going to give you an African worldview of the situation. I'm not going to give you a universal one, and I'm going to try to use the facts with it. And what he just said was correct. But if you look at most of the young black boys that's out on the street, they ain't out on the street just picking boogers out their nose. Most of them after money. Now, getting to whether that's right or wrong, the way they're going after it, that's another discussion. But, you know what I'm saying? So I think, to me, that in itself is a bit of a work ethic. Now, it may be the easy way out, and it may be the slouchy way, but I don't know of this massive crowd in the black community that don't want to work. I don't know them.
Okay.
I don't know where they're at.
Well, the thing is, why aren't they working then? We can continue the discussion. Be a nice philosophical one.
I was actually with the host was saying that, a lot of people said they just don't want to work, but I don't. So right. I was actually saying that to him, that I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you.
Movement.
I think if you give a kid, a black kid, Puerto Rican kid,
some
sort of incentive,
right.
They'll do it. Now,
right.
Erica's
also
right. There's a certain amount of kids. I mean, they just quit. I think it's because, was it on your show, Eric, when Rich and I had this discussion, because this is boiling down to the same discussion, and I said, From my talking to black people, from what I'm getting, okay, I'm getting that they don't believe they can succeed.
Yeah, that's Rich, a couple of, yeah.
Yeah, but Rich said it's prime. It's not that. It's not racism, and it isn't despair. What it is, he believes that it's a single-family home.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's part of what my particular philosophy is. I just think that if you believe you can't get a job, if you get fired once or twice or three times, and you're looking at the future like, why should I try? Then you're not going to try. But I do think if everybody, because I've read stories of people who are in gangs, and they said, you know what, give me a job, I'll get out of this gang tomorrow.
Hmm.
But it also boils down to the parents. They got to teach their kids, look, you're not getting any guarantees. The world isn't going to guarantee you anything but tomorrow. No, there are no tomorrows. You got to get good marks.
Yeah, and see, you're right. I think that's the simplistic view of looking at it without adding into it the history. Not making an excuse, but not adding into the history. For instance, if you see a dysfunctional black neighborhood, that's what they are. They're dysfunctional neighbors. They're not in communities.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
Whenever you see a group phenomenon that's dysfunctional, then that's not, you don't look at the individual to get the answer from. That means it's a systematic problem. Now, this is social science. I didn't come up with this. So now, you know, if people want to say black people want to look at that as a cop-out, this is social science. This is what they teach in the white university. Whenever you have multiple dysfunctions and it's spread across a group, they say you have to find the systems that cause that.
Hmm.
Yeah, but
this is social science, man.
Well, look, there's a lot of stuff that's taught in colleges, a lot of stuff that's misunderstood, a lot of stuff that's mistaught. The thing is, it's not simplistic. It's just simple. If parents are teaching their kids, look, you got to sacrifice to get the marks, and you're not going to play outside with your friends unless you get the marks. What you're saying, caller, is that even if somebody gets the marks, then they can't get a good job or found a business. And I say that's not true.
Okay, what I'm saying is this. First of all, the notion that their parents are there is one fallacy. See, that was it. You assuming that the parents are there. You assuming that the parents have a certain type of consciousness about marks.
Mm.
These are something that you're
talking about. All right. But then I agree. Let's say, because I know, well, you know what? It's not only in the black community, but in the white community, starting when 2010, 2011, you know, more kids are being born out of wedlock than ever before. It's not just in the black community. Black community had that monopoly for years. White community is catching up. But the thing is, you got a mother or a father. That mother still got to tell their kids, look, you got to shape up. Now, if they're not doing it, then you're right. It's systemic if it's going to be that pervasive, and apparently it is. So then you have to ask yourself, and I'm sure we all have, what is going on with certain types of communities in which the kids, you know, grandkids, they're not succeeding?
You know what, there was a panel of, they were doing a panel in the black community of ex-Black Panthers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they was, you know, there was talk about, man, it's education, man, it's this. It was about the black-on-black homicide, boys, you know, black boys killing black boys. And one of the panelists said, look, man, you guys are missing the majority of the mark. He said, understand this, if the Black Panther Party had been left alone, we was the rites of passage for the African boy.
Hmm.
That is what we would have taken care of in the black communities. See? So he said, you got to consider that. We was giving identity to black boys. This is what you do. You take care of your family and this and that and this and that. And then they got dismantled.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you all have to think about that. He said, and not only that, he said, you think about this. when the black communities were, when there were functional black communities, Rosewood, down in Florida, and all
yeah,
those
in
places.
Tulsa,
people,
and then there was the Philadelphia.
All right, there
bombing.
You go.
Yeah.
Now watch. Yeah. Okay, now watch this. He said, entrepreneurs are bred through community. He said, what makes you think those entrepreneurs that were there, if they shit
man.
Hadn't got burnt down,
well,
what makes you think
you,
they wouldn't be? Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question before you before you go a little bit further, because I want you to finish that thought process. But
okay.
Check this out. What is your definition of a community compared to a neighborhood?
Okay. Dr. Claude Anderson.
That name always
that
comes
is?
Up. Yeah, I know who that is.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, Eric was talking about the difference between a neighborhood and a community. Yeah,
but it makes sense when you look at it from a scientific basis.
It does.
Three things that you got to have. He said, one, a wholly independent economic structure, meaning, you know, from your banks to yours to your manufacturing and things of this nature, there has to be a loop where you can circulate that, the economics. That's one. Two, a code of conduct, which is another word for saying a culture that you have came up with, is that this is acceptable and this ain't acceptable. And it has
right.
to be universal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then a group who governs that, means I'm going to crack you in your damn head if you don't do this. Or I'm going to reward you if you do this.
There you go.
What you're saying is right, but there's one thing that I feel is missing. It's as though people are waiting for a leader to come along. Because I've read Anderson. I took a look at some of his articles because Rich recommended them. And Anderson's correct. And there are other people, there are black authors and black entrepreneurs who say the same thing. In order to get the entirety of the black community on its feet, absolutely. But if individuals have to wait for that to happen, then they have an excuse. There's no excuse. You teach your kids to succeed. You don't wait for Martin Luther King. You don't wait for Malcolm X.
You know what? That was something like when I was in the military, something we used to say all the time, you lead by example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that simple. You lead by example.
Now, the thing is, the call is right, because I've studied Tulsa, Rosewood, and I read about the Philadelphia bombing. Yeah, whites don't like black people. I've been saying that for years, okay?
Well,
for
you honest.
Years. It's just plain fact. The thing is, blacks can't wait around for whites to love you. You know, and the call is right. Now, if you had a separate, independent economic type of base, and he had a structure where you were teaching kids, you know, grow up to do well, grow up, or found your own business, and then you'd have to worry about, you'd have to worry about whitey coming in. And that's true, but back in the 1920s, you didn't have guns. Right? In the 2000s, you got guns, you're more literate. Hopefully, anyway, if you judge the NFL and the NBA, I don't think so. But all right, and I'm serious because
it's not a problem because it is
today versus how they spoke back in the 50s and 60s, like Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain, and they definitely had the edge back then as opposed to now, which is what Bill Cosby was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you have guns. And you've got something like 13 million blacks today. You have something, I don't know, 10 million, 5 million back then. You can, I think black people can do better.
Well,
and I don't have to wait for another leader. You just, you know, the Chinese are outpacing everybody.
Well, I think that syndrome of looking for a messiah comes out of, you know, practicing European religions. But if you go into any black community now, I don't think you see that. In other words, me, you, and the host can go into Chicago right now, right, where they got all the unrest. On every other corner, we could go find an after-school program or some brothers doing some mentoring or some sisters got some girls. You see what I'm saying? Filling in the gap. some fraternities doing this, some fraternities doing that, some churches doing this, some churches doing that. So I think they're doing the best they can with what they have.
But
you can't wait around. The whole thing is.
That ain't waiting around.
Here's the catch to all that, though. Yeah, you may have the organizations out there doing it, but who's at home pushing, helping getting those kids there to make sure they receive the help that they may need? See, once again, we're getting back to the foundation of the home.
Mm-hmm.
See, because yes, I understand the single parents, families now, households are a huge part of everything. But still, there has to be somewhere at that home to set that foundation to get these kids to these mentors or programs to help them get educated and get it to where they need to be. Now, you said you was a politician, the caller?
I was. I'm a former city commissioner.
Okay, yeah. Great. So,
yeah,
in the neighborhood that you represented, okay, how many actually black-owned businesses were there that was successful?
Back when I had ran, we actually had a nice little mix. I even started a black chamber of commerce. There was probably maybe a good 20. It wasn't a small city in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Probably a good 20, a good mix, construction, and all those other different types of businesses. It was a good little mix.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't nothing major.
Okay, but here's my question. Were they actually in the community, and were they supported by the blacks in the community, or were a lot of the customers coming from outside the community to support these businesses?
Yeah, most of them were like I said. You had like a two or three contractors, construction work contractors, major ones. Then you had your barbershops, which black barbershops will always be black.
Right.
and your little rib shops. I mean, the type of businesses that, so it's little party stores and stuff like that. Not nothing dealing in manufacturing or nothing. And that's a whole nother.
But it was money, what I'm trying to get at, it was money that stayed within. Oh, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Joe must have hung up. Okay, so my question is, so the money stayed within the neighborhood itself, or the community itself. It didn't wander out as much as some other neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah, it has a tendency because, like you said, the people who are own the businesses are hiring the people that's within the business, within the community. And
mm-hmm.
they'll spend money back here and there and stuff like
okay.
that. So. That's how that kind of went. Like I said, the if it was that simple, man, I say me and you gonna gas up and get some bullhorns and ride them down all the urban streets and every man we see, hey, get your ass at home where them babies at. I mean, it ain't that simple.
I know, right?
Stick down the street. What are you going to do, take a pistol down the street and hit that nigga, hit every black person in the head and say, go home where your baby at. I mean,
You know what, though? And it's sad that, you actually have to go and tell people to do that. But maybe that is something that needs to be done. No, I mean,
you might be right.
I mean, we need to talk about things like this more regularly anyway. Right.
Yeah.
So if we're going to talk about it, we might as well be out there, as the folks at the old school say, be about it.
Be about it.
Yeah,
you might be right now.
Nothing's going to happen because I've been on black shows for years, and they've said the same thing.
Talk.
It's one thing because you always got those naysayers out there, the ones that just going to fight you at every turn. But some kind of way we have to get around that.
Well, I'm going to give you my opinion now. It may be one of gloom and doom, but I don't look at black folk as just the black folk in America. So that's my worldview. So I'm not going to just always look at the African American to use him as a thermometer to say where the black race is going. Now, in my opinion, I think the African American now. I think he has reached his pinnacle of greatness, and I don't see him coming back from the permanent underclass that he is. I don't see it happening.
Why is that?
Well, I think the systems are in place now. I mean, he's just a done deal. I mean,
him or everybody?
The African, no, the African American.
Oh, just the African American?
In America, no. In America, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think all of America is going to be vanishing pretty soon.
Maybe. You know, and that's not the first time I've heard that. You know,
yeah.
And because, and actually, you may be right, because it looks like we've hit that wall, that proverbial wall.
Yep, yep. I think,
well, let me ask you this. Let's say the economy was going good, and we didn't have the Federal Reserve fucking it up the way that it is, and we had at least half the politicians not as corrupt as they are. Would you see any hope for black people?
I think this, man. As long as the fundamental economics of the way people think and stuff like that is pure capitalism, I don't see it, man.
Oh, okay. I'm going to assume that you believe socialism is the best remedy, but I have to ask.
No, I'm
assuming wrong.
There's always been a mix. If you look at America, this man, there's always been a mix of socialism and capitalism. If it wasn't, man, you wouldn't be able to. All the wealth wouldn't be honed up into a couple of percent. So that day right there, there's some socialist aspects in play. But I think if everybody is competing over the resources and no limit to how much you can get, and we're not talking about a game that's going to start it over, this is a continuing game. It ain't. In other words, the whistle been blown some people halfway around the track already. And so, man, you're lazy. Why you can't catch up? Well, hell, you started 20 days running the race before I did. So, you know, I just say, as long as it's capitalism, man, and if that's the pure motivation, I don't see it.
All right, let me ask you, because I've heard that before, and my question is this: what's to prevent you or anybody? Let's say you want to improve your station in life. Let's say you're only making about $50,000 a year now. You want to make more, but you feel that your job is a dead-end job. What's to prevent you or anybody from starting a business on the corner in your neighborhood?
Well, actually, I own my own business. So,
Oh, okay.
I don't work. Yeah, I don't work for nobody. I've been an entrepreneur pretty much all my life. So, so that's the route I took anyway. So,
That's my point. You see, people think that they can't do other than what they already know. They're not willing to learn new skills.
Right.
And I think people just, you know, I mean black people, because, you know, there's only three races. Well, actually, I think there's about four, but, you know, officially three races. But Chinese, they come over here, they are kicking everybody's ass. Their median household income is way above everybody else's. Their median net worth is way above everybody else's. They're climbing up on the SAT ladder. And, you know.
Well, see, you got to understand, too. They do something that we no longer do. They help each other. You know, they have that. When they come over here, there's always there's already a plan in place, a network in place.
Right, it's a network.
I've heard that, but I've never seen proof of that, and nobody.
Let me give you an example, man. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
And it's funny that we're talking about this. Me and my wife, she was going to the to get some from the store, and they weren't open, so we just sat out there and waited on them to open. And at 9 o'clock when they opened, it was two vans came. I mean, they was two vans. It was full of Chinese. This is how big their store is.
Uh-huh.
So there's either one or two things going on. One, two people picked everybody up, or they all were staying together. It had to be one or two.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, it was both of them.
Yeah, but I mean, there you go.
It's really, really. It was
Look, I've seen the immigrants in my former neighborhood, well, I had Chinese who had something like 13 in an apartment because they came over here to escape China, and then they, you know, roomed up together because they spoke the language. So, but I mean, that if that's what people got to do, that's what people got to do.
Yeah, but see, that's how that's how the other races are beginning to get ahead of us as black people. I'm just saying black people, okay? And that is how, because we won't do that. That's why, remember, Joe, back in, a little while ago, I did a show called Crabs in a Barrel. And that's just something we have been doing for years. Crabs in a barrel, one get to the top, there's somebody always hating, gonna pull them back down.
Well, then you gotta, you know, like to call the saying, you got a problem.
But you know what now? Like you said, if you look at the history of blacks, though, that wasn't always the case. Remember?
Right.
There were times when we were unified. So it's not, you know, what's black folks' number? Oh, man, they don't know how to come together. Well, you don't know the history of black folk in America. We've done it before.
Well,
but I think...
We became educated. That's what I always say. We became educated. That's exactly what I say.
I just don't know what the response will be this time from the... In other words, back then, they just burnt the business down and said, get the hell out of here. And we ain't paying the insurance claims. Yeah. I don't know that America would do that today because, it's done progressed from that. But, you know, it's worth a try again, I guess.
Nah. look, that's too much work for some people, too. What you talking about?
Forget it.
And what you talk about? But you know, I'm glad you mentioned SATs because I was watching PBS yesterday, and a report came out that the national SAT scores have dropped drastically since they have instituted this. What this thing is, No Child Left Behind Act.
That but it was primarily in the low income neighborhoods too.
Well, yeah, you know. So, what's your take on that?
That was just politically correct wording to say black community. That's what that was.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, go ahead.
I was on the radio with some black teachers out of Chicago. During the strike, I said, hey, I got an idea for you guys. I said, go and get the black teachers. Y'all go and meet with the pastors in Chicago, and y'all hammer out a plan to produce some charter schools and so that you can have more flexibility. You can put more culture there. You know, it gives you a little bit of more. You can do the hiring then. That'll deal with the unemployment problem. You'll have contracts there. That'll be transportation, food, and things of that nature. And I said, and that's a win-win situation. We going to educate everybody. The ones with the bad grades, this ain't everybody. You know what
I
mean? I said, I tell you what. I said, do you know that y'all ain't doing nothing but fighting for middle-class white jobs? Why you say that? I said, okay. I said, I haven't done the statistics on Chicago, but I guarantee you 98% of all the teachers in the Chicago public school system are white.
Hmm.
She said, you right?
Wow. Yeah, you know what? On that one right there, we're going to take a break and pay some bills. And I'll be back with you guys in about 3 minutes. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Fans Organization has teamed up with Catfishing Company in Hearst, Texas for our first annual Feed the Hungry Food Drive. We are hosting this event on behalf of the North Texas Food Bank, and it will be held at Catfishing Company, located at 900 West Airport Freeway in Hearst, Texas, 76054. For directions to the event location, please call 817-581-3912, or to contact the event organizers, you may do so by calling us here at FANS at 817-479-8299 locally or 888-419-8299. 800-273-6369, toll-free nationally. This event will be held on October 6th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., and at that time we will be on location accepting perishable food items, cash donations, and orders for our nationally advertised fans apparel, t-shirts, and hats. If you're not able to make the event, we understand, but you can still help out the kids and families in need by going to our website, www.fanss.org, and placing an order for your t-shirt and hat today, or by making a personal contribution on our website while you're there, both discreetly and securely. Every little bit counts, and for every dollar donated, that will result in 3 full meals for a child or family in need. Thanks for all your support, and we appreciate your generosity as well as helping us make this event a success. So please tell a friend.
Hey, Colleen Ford Hood, you looking for some barbecue, man, that'll fall off the bones? Some ribs, chicken, brisket. Oh, man, nice and smoked and delicious. If so, try Taste Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar. Located 1015 Adams Avenue in Fort Hood Road, just 2 minutes from the Fort Hood East Gate. Man, they have potato salad, mac and cheese, baked beans, coleslaw, collard greens. And if you're from Louisiana, yes, they have your rice and beans to go to. They even have Kool-Aid, sweet tea. And I mean, yes, I said Kool-Aid. Nothing like Kool-Aid. Now, if you rush for time, no problem. They even accept call-in orders. Just give them a call at 254-213-9660. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tastes Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar. Barbecue so good, you will come back for more.
All right, y'all. All right, y'all. You're listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And y'all going to stop by there if y'all in Killeen area and I get some of that barbecue. Hey, tell him I sent you. He give you some free red Kool-Aid. Y'all know what that red Kool-Aid is about. Joe, I'm going to make sure he send you some red Kool-Aid, too.
Yeah, good.
And don't forget about Tony. Tony down there in Hurst, Texas, man. He's doing wonderful things for the kids. Food drive. So if you can, give him a hand also. All right. All right, Joe. I don't know what you're doing. You're making
That's
too much
not
noise.
Me.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh.
All right.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Now, back to what we were talking about. These communities. You know what, though? Here's another thing. And I think, I don't know why I've been harping on this so heavy last couple of days. But have you noticed how we start off in the black community wanting some things done just for the black community, you know what I mean? You know, just for our community itself. But by the time it goes through all of the rigmarole and the political, it's no longer just the black neighborhood; it's minorities. You know, and I think that's kind of what's helped pushing us behind the power curve too. Because we it's like everything we want is beginning to be swept under the rug. That's why I say we hitting that wall and we're not trying to go through. We just following suit instead of going backwards.
You got to stop trying to trust the political system. You got to get out of it.
So
I
okay.
agree with that. I really do.
So how do we get out of it?
You
so
get
we
the entrepreneurs to get together and
uh-huh.
form a
yep.
coalition so that
yep.
you can help
yep.
your own individual communities.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds simple, but I think that's exactly, and that has to be a conscious decision. You have to consciously say, hey, man, you know, we for everybody, but not right now.
I'm all for segregation and integration as long as it's voluntary.
Yep.
Black people have a right to help themselves just like everybody else does. And if you do
yep.
it, and if you do it, you know, and if you lift up that community, it lifts up the economy of the United States. And everything.
That's
where
right.
And where there are people who have jobs, unless you really have some real rednecks, you really just want to kill everybody, then you've got less strife, you've got
right.
less tension.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, and one of the things, I saw Dr. Claude Anderson in Detroit live, and he said that he said that, he said, if you notice, he said, when you interest groups are specific about what they're advocating for. He said, you got tree lovers, they for tree rights. If you got whale lovers, they for whale rights. You got gays for gay rights. He said, when you get to the black community, they for civil rights. He said, I don't know, ain't nobody in my damn family named Civil. We don't know her address. Who the hell is Civil?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and that's interesting. Wow.
Well, I think right now, from what I you got Magic Johnson, you got, I think, the author Anderson, you've got a few black entrepreneurs. Why can't they, you know, since they're more well-known, get together and form a coalition and have community entrepreneurs join them on their respective towns and spread out from there?
I think Irving Magic Johnson, if you look at his website, and I do think that's what the entrepreneurs are doing. They're actually not on the radio talking like us. They're doing it. He's got the only and the largest internet bank. It's called One United Bank, totally black owned. What the other thing that he was doing was when the black banks, I think we're down to about 35 black banks now. He's bought out like two or three of them to keep them from going under. So, you know, you just don't hear about that. But eventually, you know, if they keep moving in that direction, and then you got like Bob Johnson, the former owner of BET.
Right.
I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff between trade between Nigeria and the United States and stuff. So I think at some point they do bump heads, and then they do what Joe was just saying.
But you know what, and see, why don't we hear more about that, though? You see what I'm saying? Unless we just, huh?
Well, it's not marketable. Who cares about a former slave becoming a millionaire?
Oh, okay. Because no way in heck they're going to reach the 1%ers, huh?
Actually, I think to answer Eric's question, I think it's the fault of the entrepreneurs. Because when you have the internet, you know, you don't need radio and TV. You don't need to have shows on NBC in order to advertise what you're doing. You do your own marketing. And you spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it slowly, you do it slowly. But I don't think, you know, I think in today's technological age, you just have to reach out to different groups, get their email list, reach out to their members, spread out that way.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, more grassroots, guerrilla type marketing and stuff like that. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are starting shows on the internet. They've got productions on the internet that rival the NBCs and the CBSs. I mean, look, the internet, and this is why I don't trust Obama with that kill switch, because I'm expecting that to happen sometime in the next couple of years.
What kill switch?
He's been lobbying for, and he practically has it now, where he or because of, was the cognitive continuity of government program. If we have a cyber attack, he can kill the entire internet.
Wow, really?
I don't like that either.
No.
You know? First time here today.
No.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Nope, because that means then, first off, I don't trust the government. I think that the New World Order is a very real faction. It's been around for centuries. They're trying to conquer the world. They're doing a good job. All the central banks in all the countries, they're doing it. They're just on the precipice of hyperinflation for everybody. And all they have to do is just cut off communications, round up people. Even if they don't want to round up people, they can keep people pretty much under their thumb through technological advances. And if you have something like the internet kill switch, people then have to try to communicate, and how are they going to do that when the cell phones can also be cut off at an instant?
Oh, no, don't say they're going to turn the cell phones off.
No, you can do it. Also, The cell. You know, anybody has a cell phone, he's being tracked 24/7.
You know what? I can believe that one. I really
I talk to a lot of people about the, you know, the ideas about the New World Order and the Illuminati. I call them the Boogeyman Group. But this is what I do believe. And if you look at most countries, even America now, America, the general public may be ignorant on certain things, but I don't think they sleep on, you know, just finna let this, you know, some central government take over where you can't, got to be in the house and let them turn off the internet. I don't think the world gonna allow that. I just can't see humanity taking the knee to one group, you know, finna take over the world, and I just don't see it.
It's already
I'm
here.
A little bit more optimistic there. Huh?
No, if you go to YouTube, you can watch a film called The Invisible Empire, and the New World Order was, you know, promoted years ago by George Bush, Senator Hart, Gordon Brown. They talked about it. Books were written about it by Jules Verne. And then if you understand governmental economics, how the Federal Reserve actually works, it's already here.
Well, I understand what you mean when you look at industries where they're centralizing the money and the one world currency and things of that nature. But ultimately, this is what it comes down to, and this is what it always comes down to. Once a person get pushed too far into a corner, he comes out swinging.
And
it's going to be more people that affects, and if everybody come out swinging, that shit is not going to stand.
And see, and that was going to be my point. And maybe that's a good thing. I mean, that will bring everybody together back the way it used to
be. Right. It may have. That's right.
Against
but
one
order,
common foe.
But in order to get to that point, people have to have immense frustration, which means food stamps have to be cut off in addition to no more jobs.
Mm.
And if that happens, you know, let them go out in the street. You know what's going to happen? They'll be mowed down.
Mm.
Yeah,
you think
you
that people,
them,
see, well, people with guns, we have guns. We have millions of guns, which is a good thing. It's one thing which is, you know, keeping us alive.
Uh-huh.
But the police are being militarized. They are in debt to the federal government. The FBI, the SWAT teams, the local police, the state police, they're all training together, and they're all looking at protesters as right-wingers. But let's say everybody does go out in the street, right, with their shotguns and everything. What are they going to do up against Humvees and helicopters and central communications outfits and automatic weapons?
Well,
Joe, if you look at the history now, all the role of humanity doing that type of stuff when they're being, you know, oppressed to a certain degree, where it's 100% dissatisfaction, people going to sacrifice their lives, man. They don't got a bullet for everybody. They ain't got enough of them.
No, yes, they do. They got more than enough. We don't have enough bullets for them.
Well, I mean, if we're going to take include history in it, take a look at about when the first England first came over and they started trying to do the tea tax thing. You see what happened in that, right?
No, it was a tea party, and then we had a revolution which lasted 8 years. And they only about, some people say 30%, other people say 3% of the people went along with it. So it took a long time, but see, that's back then. No technological grid, no helicopters, no automatic weapons, no grenades.
Well, here's the thing with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there's people on the inside that might not be happy with what's going on either.
That's the only thing
I'm
counting on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm
a little optimistic there, God. Humanity is not that cowardice, man. You may have a lot of mass, you know, mowing down of people, but ultimately they got to re-up them guns. They got to re-gas up them tanks. I mean, it's just too much history there, man, that humanity is not going to take a knee to that. It's going to be a lot die, but I guarantee you it won't stand. It won't stand.
There'll be a lot dying, all right, but you see, unless we have that leader or a bunch of leaders coming out of the woodwork, then we have a bunch of people who can't communicate with one another. The cell phones will be cut off. You know, even if the cell phones are around, somebody named Tom is going to say, "Hey, Harry, what should we do now?" I don't know.
and then there's going to be that leader that goes, "I remember when my dad told me back in the day, this is what they did." See, and then once again, you're going to get your communication going again. You know,
man,
we used to say something in the military that, you know, there was an underground with the soldiers, you know, because you had the NCOs and the officers. But if you really wanted to know what was going on, you get with the soldiers.
Yeah.
Now, nobody figured out how they were getting all the information, but the user was correct. But they would know things before all the rest of us do. So, trust me, they would come up with... look at this generation.
You don't have no choice.
Yeah, look at this generation
now. Your back is against the wall.
Look at the way they text and write. They got their own little pattern of communicating now. That if we were to stand there and listen to them, we'd be lost. But they know everything they're talking about. So, I mean, it's there.
Well, I hope that there's, you know, there are insiders who say, you know what, these people are like Hitler. He's crazy. These people are crazy. But unless we have that, no way.
Joe, you're just saying no way.
No way. I mean, look, how many rounds of ammunition does the average house have? Once he's run out, what's he going to do?
Well, now see, you got to think about what state are you in. Now, in the average household in Texas, oh, they got enough ammo.
I know they don't. But it would have to be done through guerrilla warfare. It wouldn't be done with an all-out people in the street, everybody at once, having like, okay, we've got a million. Well, I've got 2 million, 5 million people in the street. Yeah, oh, there'd be a lot of soldiers killed and stuff like that. But once they started getting killed, then they start thinking that we're the enemy.
Mm.
Then they start pulling out the 50 calibers.
Mm.
They're Humvees.
Mm.
They're helicopters.
Mm. But just like that, there's somebody who know what the weakness is.
Well,
that's right.
They on the inside.
Hey,
I hope so.
Them guys over there in them Arab, them guys over there on the streets in them Arab countries turning them damn tanks over. You know, they turning tanks over, man.
Well, you know, not tanks. They're not turning over. They didn't do it in China. They're not going to do it here. They might be turning over some, you know, some of those cars coming through. But not the tanks.
So they're not going to do the tanks?
They're not doing the tanks. The tanks
What were some of them guys doing to those? Well, then how they get killing so many of them of Americans up in them, you know, even with them reinforced bottoms of them steel plates in the bottom of them tanks? Man, they putting them suicide bombers and them bombs on them roadsides and killing up everybody in that tank.
Tanks. They're doing damage to the Humvees, but they're not doing shit to the tanks.
Oh, okay. Well,
and the LEDs. I mean, I have to give the people over in Afghanistan, Iraq, props because they're fighting for their country. We have no fucking business being over there.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Well, see, that's like where were you at earlier, Joe? When I said we got our hands in some stuff, we don't need to have our hands in nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
But you got
these goddamn conservatives who believe, well, yeah, let's have a great economic United States, but we still need to have those wars over there. We got to bring democracy to everybody. I hear your fucking mind.
You know, that's like I said, those folks been over there fighting for, them folks been over there fighting for eons and eons. What makes you think we gonna go over there and stop them from fighting each other? It's not gonna happen.
So they'll give you a couple of little examples, but ultimately, you're right. It just need to mind your own business.
Yeah, we're not over there for them. We're over there for geopolitical position. We're over there for oil.
Right.
We're over there for the poppy. Afghanistan is all about two things.
Right.
They discovered $1 trillion worth of minerals last year. $1 trillion. And the poppies.
Mm.
The opium
trade
is run by the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
Don't get off this radio with Joe. Know too much, man. He's gonna fire. He gonna get
a
killed, man.
Oh no, Joe, my regular. I can't get rid of Joe. Me and Joe have some great conversation. That's why I love him.
Yeah. No, I said I'm gonna get off the radio with Joe.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
I mean,
I've done my research, and there's other people too. It isn't just tinfoil bullshit. I mean, they have declassified CIA documents talking about how the Vietnam War started on a false flag. The Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
That was done, and nobody shot at that battleship. Or if it was shot at, it didn't do any damage, and then they decided to blow it up. I mean, to blow up the whole affair. But the thing is that 57,000 people died. For what reason?
For what reason?
It was just to make the contractors rich.
Yeah. Yeah, and That's not good, man.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Sure.
As soon as everything went off, Halliburton was over there the next day.
Hey, and who's Halliburton? Cheney. What was
Cheney?
He? VP.
Yeah. Oh, Cheney was the president.
See, that goes back to my point, man. Having the social, you know, everybody taking on the model of capitalism gone wild. I just think it has to have a bridle to it somewhere. I mean, it has to be, you know what I'm saying, caged in. I know I like free enterprise too, but I'm telling you, man, you can just see the end of this, man, when everybody's fighting over two pieces of chicken.
Well, that's
gonna work, man.
And you wouldn't believe it, but that's the whole plan, even though it seems nuts, because they want to bring down the world so that they can buy it up for pennies on the dollar.
Hmm.
You see, in my opinion, and no documents go back to it, but I think the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are in charge of all this. They have a history, especially the Rothschilds, of doing this kind of stuff. They've loaned money to Napoleon, gold to Napoleon. Then they started wars against the people they loaned the money to, because then the other people can borrow gold and pay back, you know, I don't know, maybe 13-20% on the dollar and stuff like that.
Who do you think put Saddam in charge in Iraq? The Americans.
Yeah.
That's who did it.
Well, that would make the white man God and the devil. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
Can't be both, man.
I don't believe in God anyway, so.
I know, I was
kidding.
Well,
that's the way it's always been, hasn't it? I mean, ever since the beginning of mankind, what have men and women been doing? They've been killing, conquering, killing, conquering, killing, conquering. That's all it is.
Dang. Now, see, yeah. Joe done put it out there just in simple terms.
Oh, yeah, I like to make things go, you know, I like to break things down to at least a reducible element. You know, all this stuff that, you know, you take a look at 30 million TV shows, you read 30 million books, you can just boil it down to very few simple elements. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Oh, hey, y'all listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And, man, we got a great conversation going on today. So if y'all want to join in, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at DrivenForLife62. Or join me in the chat room. We can talk in the chat room, too.
Yeah.
Now, back to our conversation. Well, man.
I would say, one thing, Eric, I don't know if you've ever done a show on, but maybe you could devote a show, man, once a year to, like, doing some stuff on the black banks, you know, the history of the black banks, the state of the black banks. Maybe you can get a couple of, presidents or something on with you. You know, just to...
Hey, that's not a bad idea. What you think about
that,
Joe? We can do that?
Oh, sure. Because I've done some research on that, too. At one time, the black banks were dwindling. So at one time, there was 31 black banks. Maybe there's more now. But,
Yeah, that's about 30 of them now. That actually was more like 80 of them.
Really?
It's down to about 30 now. Yeah,
wow.
35. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it'd be nice to have some black entrepreneurs on. I mean,
You're right. Yeah, right. We're going to have to work on that, Joe. We're going to have to work on that.
Okay, guys. My son's got football practice.
All right.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you for calling in. Woo. All right, Joe. See? We started off good. See the kind of conversations we have here, man? That's what I love about my show. No telling who we attract.
Well, what time is it now?
Oh, what time is it?
Oh, how much time do you have left?
oh, Joe got something. He got something on his mind, y'all. I got 15 minutes left, Joe.
15 minutes left? Oh, okay.
Because so,
I don't know. I lost track of time.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say, what you want to talk about? Now, you know, tomorrow you co-hosting the show with me on dating sites, right? Because I know you got a lot to talk about on that.
Oh, yeah. The dating sites? Oh.
Yeah, the dating sites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
y'all.
I sent off my message to the woman who responded to me, and she didn't like it.
Okay. All right, Joe, we're going to talk about something else real fast for the next 15 minutes. Healthcare. Okay. Healthcare, man. Why does it cost so much? And I was watching, look, I was watching this special on PBS last night. And they actually had doctors on there that actually said, in some cases, you're doing procedures that's not really needed. And that's what's driving the cost up.
Well, yeah, because they're afraid of lawsuits. So they say, well, let's check you out. Let's have another test for this, another test for that, another test for this. And then there's rules and regulations by the government, which have kept health care high. And now Obamacare, oh, forget it.
Mm. You know, but see, and here's the thing, though. They were saying, I mean, these are the top, you know, top-level doctors, and they were like prostate cancer in men. So a lot of times, if left untreated, men wouldn't die from it. In many, many cases, you say with maybe one in, what, every 200?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, say, but, you know, you get to the point to where the doctors don't want to, you know, the doctors get, like, I guess you say, get scared and worry about suits. So they go ahead and do procedures that's really not necessary. You know, they do more, sometimes they do more harm by taking that biopsy or whatever than just leaving it alone. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think biopsies were the causes of cancer spreading.
Yeah, well, it's not the biopsy, but sometimes you know that air hits it and it just it's on and popping. Let me see if I still got to put it. It was on PBS last night, so if anybody want to check it out, just go to pbs.org. Let's see. I'm finna put the website in the chat room here in a minute. Check it out. It's very, very eye-opening, to say the least.
Hmm.
You know. And,
well, I know that doctors kill over 100,000 people a year, and those are preventable deaths.
Mm-hmm.
That I know.
You know, and they were saying, you know, a lot of times people be doing, you know, asking for this, and they really don't need it. And the doctors really won't, you know, explain it to them that, you know, this is really not needed. Yeah, I just pasted the website in the chat room, so anybody want to go and check it out, you know, there it is. I'm sure you really have your eyes open once you read that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just thought it was weird because I used to say the same thing. I'm like, do they really need to be doing all this? You know, just the machines alone. You know.
What's the major premise of the show? Are they saying that the doctors are ordering tests that aren't needed, or are they saying that the patients want the test even though the doctors are telling them they don't need it?
Both. Actually, both.
Oh, yeah?
Both. Yeah, it's one of those shows that, I mean, they're not pulling any punches. You know, there's some cases where the family members are prolonging, you know, their loved ones' lives when they really shouldn't be, you know, because they're really thinking more about the person, you know, what they feel. But, you know, they're not thinking about the cost of running machines plus how the other person is really suffering by keeping them alive. I mean, it's a really touching, touching story. And I hope everybody go and check it out because I just sat here and my mouth was open like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, PBS, man, I tell you, they have some stuff on there. That's why I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know the way they was talking, I was like, okay, I can understand. I definitely can understand why it costs so much when they put it that way. You know,
yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if I have a loved one who's like saying a deathbed, I'm not going to care about the cost.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing. It's not the cost. It's how can I say? In a lot of cases, is you know the. There's nothing else the doctors can do. Okay, let's just put it like this. There's nothing else the doctors can do. They done told you there's nothing else you can do.
Mm-hmm.
They can do but make the person comfortable.
Right.
You know, but instead of going ahead and say, okay, take them off the machine, and if they make it good, if not, you know what I mean?
Well,
they don't do
yeah,
that.
But who's going to make the decision, though?
Well, see, there's the rub. there's the rub. And that's another facet of the story that they were talking about. You need to make, you need to have the decision made way before it gets to that point. Because, you know, look, when you get to that point, emotions are taking over, and nobody can say they're thinking straight.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've been with that person for 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I mean, if they're, look, what's, I don't see what the objection is. If a person says, okay, I may be dying, but I don't want to be taken off. I don't want my life to be taken away from me. I want to die naturally.
Right.
And if it costs money, it costs money.
No, but if you're on a machine, you're not dying naturally, though, Joe.
If they want to be on the machine, then let them be on the machine.
If the machine is keeping them alive.
Well, if it's keeping them alive, then...
Then once again...
I kind of see this going towards the decision being made by the doctor and being taken out of the hands of the families, and I see that now being regulated by the government, and I don't like...
No. See, that's the thing. The doctor can only recommend. You know, he can't say, look, this is what we need to take him off now. They can, you know, they can only try to talk to you. And then, of course, you know, they can't be as blunt as they may like to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll just talk to the different family members trying to get... Now, I'm telling you this because I know personally. Now, you know, to try and make this, you know, process a little bit smoother, you know.
Well, they're already having a controversy about Obamacare where they're talking about death panels already.
Oh, Lord. Death panels?
Yeah, where the doctors are a committee of doctors, or maybe, who knows, maybe a committee of politicians will decide. Because Bill Gates was already talking about this, about how long should grandma be on the respirator?
Well, that's for grandma and her family to decide.
That's what I say.
You know.
Besides which, if you start ending lives too quickly, people will get trigger happy and they'll start ending lives eventually. It's because you don't want them around.
Well, see, here's a go. Here it is. Now, when you take in like that, you know, they will ask the family member, do you have a DNR, or do you want a DNR?
Right, do not resuscitate, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, and that starts the whole process, you know. And
I don't know. I don't, because, again, I see it going, everything is being handled by government, and anything that isn't being handled by government now can eventually be handled by government, and the kind of government we have nowadays, I don't see it being anything but bad.
You don't see it as being anything but bad.
Yeah, I don't want the government in my life. The less the government, the better.
I hear you, Joe. I hear you. All right, Joe, time for me about to get up out of here now.
Okay, Eric.
All right, appreciate you. Don't forget, see you tomorrow for your show.
Okay, if I don't have something to do, I'll be there.
All right, Joe.
All right, I'll see you, Eric.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That was Joe. Y'all know Joe. Joe tells it like it is. Full of knowledge, though. Full of knowledge. Outstanding. Hey, I want to say thank y'all for listening today. It has been great. Once again, another great day of conversation. Much knowledge put out there. So I hope y'all taking some of this in. And like they say, let's stop just talking about it. Let's go out and do it. Because I'm going to go out here and chase some people around the neighborhood right now. That's right. So I can be about my business. Before we get out here, let's pay some bills, and I'll see y'all in about 3 minutes.
The Fans Organization has teamed up with Catfishing Company in Hearst, Texas, for our first annual Feed the Hungry Food Drive. We are hosting this event on behalf of the North Texas Food Bank, and it will be held at Catfishing Company, located at 900 West Airport Freeway in Hearst, Texas, 76054. For directions to the event location, please call 817-581-3912. Or to contact the event organizers, you may do so by calling us here at FANS at 817-479-8299 locally, or 888-419-6369 toll-free nationally. This event will be held on October 6th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., and at that time, we will be on location accepting perishable food items, cash donations, and orders for our nationally advertised Fans apparel, t-shirts, and hats. If you're not able to make the event, we understand, but you can still help out the kids and families in need by going to our website, www.fanss.org, and placing an order for your t-shirt and hat today, or by making a personal contribution on our website while you're there, both discreetly and securely. Every little bit counts, and for every dollar donated, that will result in 3 full meals for a child or family in need. Thanks for all your support, and we appreciate your generosity as well as helping us make this event a success, so please tell a friend.
Hey, Colleen Ford Hood, you looking for some barbecue, man, that'll fall off the bones? Some ribs, chicken, brisket, oh man, nice and smoked and delicious. If so, try Taste Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar. Located 1015 Adams Avenue in Fort Hood Road, just 2 minutes from the Fort Hood East Gate. Man, they have potato salad, mac and cheese, baked beans, coleslaw, collard greens. And if you're from Louisiana, yes, they have your rice and beans to go to. They even have Kool-Aid, sweet tea. And I mean, yes, I said Kool-Aid. Nothing like Kool-Aid. Now, if you rush for time, no problem. They even accept call-in orders. Just give them a call at 254-213-9660. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tastes like more barbecue and snack bar. Barbecue so good, you will come back for more.
I tell y'all, man, don't forget to go down there and check out that barbecue. Ain't nothing like that barbecue, man. That barbecue is on. You hear me? And once again, Tony up in Dallas, his fans organization, you know, make sure you go and give him a hand also. Because I plan to give him a hand once I get there myself. I'll probably try and be there live. So you want to check us out? Hey, come up there and take a look. I'm sure we can find something for you to do. It's a good cause, though. Good cause, good food. All right, Green Beasley. Yes, sir. We know we got all the same blood type. Red. That's what I'm talking about. All right, y'all. Well, it's about it for me for today. Once again, I appreciate you joining me. Love y'all. Thanks for your support. You're great. Without you, I wouldn't be on here chatting every day. So don't forget to join me tomorrow, though, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central. And our topic tomorrow is going to be dating sites. Are they really worth the trouble? I know some of y'all got some responses to that. And if I can get Joe going to be the co-host because he has beaucoup knowledge on dating sites. So if you got any questions about that, hey, join us tomorrow. We'd be more than happy to get you in. Until then, y'all have a great day. Hey, when you go home this evening or when that special one comes home, give them a hug and tell them you love them because you never know when they're going to be gone. Okay, until then, I'm out of here.